This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Hello and welcome to Well, brought to you each Monday evening by the VAC team. This is Jack, and joining me to co-host tonight is Alex. And we have the ever-reliable James, as always, on the panel helping us out tonight. How are we?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Alex?
I'm very well, and Jack, you're well?
Well, I'm just over this weather. Expletive deleted. Oh. I'm sick of it, so I just want summer to come.
Yeah, well, we're just sitting here waiting for things to hit 30, I think, on Thursday, isn't
Seriously?
It? Yeah,
no.
I think it's meant
We've
to be 29.
We've had one day or 2 days of summer,
well,
I think.
It's headed for 30 on Thursday.
Everyone seems to have a cold or some sort of infection. Anyway, as part of the lead-up to World AIDS Day, which is looming on December the 1st, we at Well and VAC are looking at different aspects of the HIV epidemic and what it may mean on a personal level to live with HIV.
Well, tonight we're exploring a fairly big subject, and that is the one of stigma. We're going to look at what is it, how does it manifest itself, and what does it mean to people in general? But in particular, what does it look like when we talk about stigma and HIV? So we'll be exploring that in some depth, and shortly we'll be talking to Darren, who's going to be joining us and sharing his own insights and experiences. And later on, we'll talk about women and HIV with Tasha.
We certainly shall. And the interesting thing about Darren, he's perhaps taken the bull by the horns and turned his experience into some action, which I think is maybe inspiring to some of our listeners. So hopefully that will be the case. So if you're listening but you missed out on our last shows, which is quite possible because there were some technical glitches, you just want to hear another show once again or share the show with friends, you can always download our podcasts of previous episodes of Well. Just go to wellwellwell.joy.org.au. And our thanks must go to the wonderful David, who is our Joy podcaster. Without him, we would be nothing.
And also, you're welcome to join in the conversation. You can send us an email on onair@joy.org.au or you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. And they come straight to us, don't they, Jack, here in the studio?
They do, and we want people to be part of this. And so please text in, send us an email or text in. It's good to hear what you're thinking.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well on Joy 94.9. I'm Jack and my co-host is Alex. And tonight we are talking about HIV stigma. And to that end, we'll be talking to Darren about his experiences. But first, Alex, can you please define stigma to our listener? What is it that we're talking about exactly?
Well, I'm not an expert, Jack, but I think one of the things when we talk about stigma is this notion of a stain on someone, that a quality or an attribute, something you do or something you are, is defined by others in perhaps a negative sense. You might therefore incur prejudice, you might incur discrimination as a result. Mm. And in many ways, we don't have control over that because it's often what others potentially think about you. The one way I like to look at it when we talk about this is this notion of shame, and I think we can all relate to the concept of shame. We've probably all felt it in our lives, and that's a very, very, very powerful motivator or demotivator in some cases. This notion that you might have internalized stigma as well, that you feel something about yourself that you find shameful. Mm. And even though you may not feel any discrimination, you in fact act out in a way that others may perceive as well.
Okay, so you're made to feel a bit different or to carry a burden inflicted by others or indeed yourself if it's, internalised. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, also, it can be very disarming. It can prevent people doing a lot of things in terms of accessing services or accessing help if they do feel stigma.
Well, joining us tonight is Darren to talk about his experiences and to flesh out what stigma has meant to him. Darren, welcome to Well, Well, Well. And it's not the first time you've been on radio, of course.
No. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me on.
It's our pleasure. Now, to commence with, let's go back to the beginning of your experience and exposure to stigma. What happened to you?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I think stigma is almost, it's perpetuated. For me, before I became positive, I was always, I feel like before I became positive, I was so worried about getting it and about what people would think of me before I became HIV positive, that in myself, as you just mentioned, I was internalizing the stigma before it even happened. So for me, in a way, it started from the inside. Before then, when I became positive, and then, of course, having conversations with other people, and when they meet you and you tell them, then, of course, you know, stigma is just rampant through certain sections of our community.
Mm. Do you think it did it impact on self-esteem or?
Oh, great. Look, absolutely. Like, the minute, for me, it's almost like you don't, you shouldn't exist, or there's a sense of disempowerment because what you have is wrong, it's dirty, it's something to be ashamed of. Therefore, it just kicks your confidence down, and it takes a lot of time for me to now get into a position where I'm actually okay about talking about it. But the journey along the road is so incredibly painful, isolating as well.
And we often see the use of that word clean in social circles, in gay apps and things like that, don't we?
Yeah, that word, I mean, it's such a derogatory, awful, nasty. It just implies a real sense of disempowerment to a HIV-positive person. Mm.
So before you became positive, you were experiencing those issues. So once you did become positive, how did you manage that transition? I mean, to disclose your status to others must have been confronting, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, and this show's called Well, Well, Well. So to be perfectly honest, I was quite suicidal. I actually wanted to die. I felt worthless. I was thinking about killing myself. Quite often I thought, you know what, I'm going to end it because no one wants me. I'm not worthy enough. Who is going to love me because I have a virus inside me which is considered dirty and not clean, and it's really difficult.
Yeah, it's incredibly. And I think the other thing is it's incredibly contagious. And back then, you know, it was a life sentence as well, wasn't it? Like, there was all that added stigma as well.
Absolutely, because, like, in the 90s, it was like we had condoms. We didn't have the medication which we had, and then, like, that was the safety. That was what you used, you know, and that if you, you know, slipped up and you didn't put one on, or, you know, or it broke, or you know, you possibly could get it.
And then double dose of stigma.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what changed you from being such in such a dark place to where you are today? You're grabbing the bull by the horn, as I said.
Oh, I certainly am. Look, to be honest, a lot of therapy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, works. A lot of therapy, a lot of counselling, a lot of talking, going to kind of spiritual people and doing meditation and just all sorts of stuff that helps your consciousness and your spirit, talking about it with people. And then just starting, firstly, I started with my family. And if I couldn't tell my family and be comfortable in with my immediate family, then who could I be comfortable with? My dad took it. He was a knight. He was pretty ferocious.
He was challenged.
He was totally challenged. He just threw it. He basically told me it was my fault, you know. So that was hard, but he's come around. Well, actually, sorry, he's passed away now, but at the time he was pretty tough. And mum took it pretty tough. But so I started there, and then eventually step by step, I went to people like in Queensland. I was in Queensland at the time. I went to PLC. I went to QAC, the Queensland AIDS Council. Just like, you know, down here in Victoria, I would go to PLC or Victorian AIDS Council or LPV and just go in and start getting engaged with the community who are positive. And then you realise, oh, hang on, that person's okay. Just they're positive too. I can actually have a conversation with somebody who's going through the same experience and maybe connect some way to,
and perhaps hearing how they've perhaps dealt with some of the same issues you might be facing. We're all different, but hearing other people's stories, was that helpful for you, Darren?
Yeah, absolutely, because then you could kind of relate to yourself and you could start the healing process internally? Because I do believe you have to kind of heal your... I think there is a sense of internalized stigma. From when I speak from my perspective, I feel like it's in there. And if I deal with my own internalized stigma, which I feel that I've perpetuated, then I'm more capable then to handle the stigma which I get from others. And certainly talking through with other people who are positive and talking about their stigma and what they experience, I can then help improve and move forward and do good things.
You're with Jack and Alex from VAC, and we're talking with Darren about the lived experience of stigma. We will continue to unpack what this is all about.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Alex and Jack on Joy 94.9. And with us in the studio is Darren, who's been very inspiring in many ways, sharing his life story with us. One thing you really touched upon, Darren, which hit me, was this notion of disclosure and the journey that many people who live with HIV, in my experience, have go through in many different ways, of course. Would you care to share with us what that was like for you, the notion of disclosure, what it meant for you to actually say that to someone?
Yeah, look, disclosure for me at the time when I was newly diagnosed, there was a lot of fear around disclosure because of what I might be perceived as. And for me, it was just about saying to myself, with each person I came across, do I feel like I could tell this person about my status? Particularly, if I was going to engage in a sexual relationship mm-hmm. with them. Mm. Then, of course, you're handling the laws. You know, in New South Wales, you have to disclose. Here, if you're having safe sex. So you kind of got that legal aspect as well. So it's very complex. Mm. And for me, it was when I meet the person, and if I would basically go with my gut, if I felt like this person was going to be a human being towards me, then I would disclose and take the risk. And there were certainly times when I did take the risk, and the person was an absolute nightmare to me, and basically completely, you know, discriminated against me and call me all sorts of horrible things. And for me, it was about dealing with one disclosure at a time when I was ready to disclose to that person.
And that is the point. It's when you're ready and everybody's different. And in many ways, from what I'm hearing, it's about the courage to accept what might happen, that in fact you might have a negative response. How do you then deal with that?
That was something that a friend once said to me, to remember that when you've told someone, you can't untell them, and you have to be prepared to live with whatever comes out of that.
Yeah, that's right. And you said, as you pointed out, when the person is ready, and I would say to all the listeners out there who are positive, you do it when you are ready. There's you are the one that is in control of who you tell, and you're absolutely right, because once you say it, then you can't take it back. Because the scary part about disclosure is, and I've had it before, my family, my friends, people I've been in a relationship, once you disclose, and you might say to someone, would you mind just, and if you're not out publicly and you say, could you keep it to yourself? I've had many times when that person has not kept it to themselves, and I've spoken to a person down the track, oh, I heard you were HIV positive. I'm like, who did you hear that off? And that was when I wasn't out publicly, and that was also a little bit difficult to deal with, because you can't take it back.
Well, because of all those experiences, you've been inspired perhaps to make a difference to some other people. You've created a certain performance piece that you're considering, or you've got getting organised for Midsummer. Tell us what this is all about.
I'd love you to tell about the stigma project we're working on. Look, I'm now in a position where I have the courage to talk about my lived experiences, and also talk about other people's shared lived experience with HIV stigma, men and women, all sections of the community. And we're working on a development work for Midsummer. It's going to be at the La Mama Theatre in late January. It's for 3 nights. We're having a Q&A panel discussion about HIV stigma and performance. And we're working with 3 talented actors who are storytelling through movement and text. We're developing a script. We're developing movement so we can actually storytell the lived experiences of people living with HIV and what they experience through becoming HIV positive.
So this is your personal experience as well as other people's experience,
yes,
portrayed in different artistic formats.
Yeah, so it's important for me to share my lived, yep, experiences because I'm directing and choreographing the work, and I'm able to, of course, put an influence on how I'm working with the boys, particularly because I'm working with two wonderful actors, Sam and Duncan and Rory Godbold, and a wonderful female actress called Tasha, who you'll meet in a bit later. And Tasha is working with a woman, which she'll talk about a bit, mm-hmm, later. And I'm able to work closely with the HIV positive community. I've been invited into the workshop, so we've got some dates to announce a bit later when they can come in to be a part of the workshop. We've already had a test run, so we had a test run called Gay Pos Sex, that's what the title was, but we changed it to be a bit more inclusive. Sure. It was just for men at that point in time, and we now have developed it. And so some HIV positive community members came into the workshop and they gave their stories. Someone gave a monologue about his experience, and we hope to work with further HIV positive communities on positive community members on this project.
So you're broadening it out beyond just gay men, there's women.
Absolutely.
As well as other people's experiences.
Yes.
And so it's really a work that's being that's in transition, perhaps it's being developed as we speak, depending upon other people's input, the lived experience from a broad range of people.
Yeah, like I've already been chatting to some of the HIV positive community into the sector, and I've already had conversations person to person, so doing some interviews and some filming to gather some stories. And because each person, when they receive or experience HIV stigma, it's a different experience for the individual, and it's really important for this work to get the richness of the community, because everybody has a story to tell, and it influences and it generates such wonderful storytelling through live theatre to give the audience, you know, to land it on them, to show to them, you know, what it is like to live with HIV and to receive stigma.
And it's the power of the narrative that this is all about.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Well, 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 on Joy 94.9.
This is Jack and Alex talking about stigma with Darren Visa. Darren, you were talking about before, you're portraying various pieces in this production called Stigma, self-explanatory. The name of the play or the performance piece wasn't hard to determine, I presume. And you're getting other people's stories. Are you still recruiting? Do you still want people to contact you to give ideas or their experiences?
Yes, absolutely. We're doing a big call out. We have on Sunday the 11th of December at the PLC, we're having a workshop in the afternoon. We're inviting the HIV positive community to come in and have a creative workshop with myself and Kim Davis and the actors to share the lived experience of HIV stigma to contribute to the project.
So the actors will be there listening to people's stories and picking up on certain threads and chords that bind it together.
Absolutely. And the people who come into, like the last workshop, they are welcome to come into the space. There's no judgments. They share what they want to share. They participate with what they're comfortable participating in. And then we work through a series of tasks and processes to kind of have a creative workshop to flesh out these lived experiences and how we can storytell their experiences through this work. So they have a voice.
Yes. So men, women, trans,
anyone,
all ages,
absolutely. Anyone who is welcome to come in who has experienced HIV stigma, who's, you know, HIV positive, to come in and contribute to the work. It's really exciting to do this project and include the HIV positive community and develop it from their voices. As I said earlier, it just kind of enriches the story, and we would love people to come in on the 11th of December in the afternoon. We can post them on your Well 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 Facebook page after, can't we, to tell
yes,
people to come
that
in.
That can have a connection.
Yeah, great, yeah. Great.
I mean, so far, Darren, we've been talking about the narrative, and you've been consulting with the HIV positive community in some ways. Are there any specific themes you're seeing? We're talking about stigma. Are there any sort of themes of that narrative that you care to comment on?
Well, to be honest, we're experiencing two themes. We're experiencing the dark side. When two, for example, if I'm going to talk from the male perspective, when two men come together to get it on, whether one comes across and one is HIV positive, say for example that might be my story, and I meet a person who is positive, who is negative. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I've engaged in a sexual act and I haven't disclosed, and I might have disclosed during the actual sex itself, because that has actually happened, where I've actually felt so guilty for not telling the person that I'm HIV positive. This has been in my past, that when I've told them during the sex, of the sexual encounter, they've freaked out and they've had a very uncomfortable reaction. It's been very sticky, so I've had to navigate through how to kind of get a resolve on having breaking up the sexual, you know, experience at that time. So there's that, but also we're playing around with actually the nice side of when two men can get together. One's pos, both pos, doesn't matter. They actually just accept people with who they are. So we're looking at the good side of somebody who is HIV positive, and actually we are showing that they are a capable, creative human being that actually has feelings and can actually live quite a capable existence. So we're looking at the dark and we're looking at the good, and also in the middle we're trying to find the funny as well. So
that's good, good balance, I think. What do you hope to achieve by this performance piece overall?
Look, we want to, I certainly want to let people know what it actually is like to actually experience somebody who degrades you, who puts you down, who invalidates your existence because of your virus. I really want the audience to feel what that's like to somebody living with a virus and receiving stigma. This is also goes beyond just HIV, if I can step outside that box, because stigma can be related to many other multiple things. Stigma in itself is such a huge umbrella. And it was interesting what you said earlier in the beginning of the program. I did a symposium at the VCA the other week, and one of the speakers there, the researchers on performance and stigma, said stigma was like having a mark. It's like you've been marked and you are tainted. So we kind of want to show that to the audience of what that is like, so then they can go away with an understanding.
And be mindful perhaps of just simple use of language. People may not realise how language can stigmatise and impact and scar people.
Yeah, it can be incredibly hurtful, incredibly, and particularly somebody who is vulnerable. Somebody who is fresh and newly diagnosed, and or somebody who has been diagnosed for quite some time and still hasn't been able to get a handle on it, and actually has gone down a slippery path. So we kind of also want to get at the community to say, actually, you're okay. You can actually do. This is one of the reasons why I'm doing this project, because now I'm in a position of myself mentally where I can say, you know what, I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm a capable human being which has goals and ambitions and dreams, and I want to get that out to all the HIV positive community around the globe, that we actually can exist as humans and as people.
Joy 94.9, the freshest sounds from around the world.
That's right, it is the freshest sounds from around the world. This is Well, Well, Well with Jack and Alex and James, our panellists. James, any messages, please? Come in?
There is a message. Anonymous message says, as a positive man, I sometimes actively play dumb regards the use of the term clean and tell them I shower daily to force the other person to actually say the term HIV. I'm more likely to ask if they would call somebody dirty if they're black or non-Caucasian. Most people find that unacceptable, so I then ask why they think calling an HIV-positive person dirty is acceptable. It's a good point.
That's a very good point. You were mentioning before.
Like I said, I mean that the word dirty, it's, you know, just thrown around so many times, and it really needs to be handled and
challenged like that.
Absolutely, what a great message to send in. Here's a person in the community who's confronting stigma in his life and is sharing that with us now.
And not doing it in an aggressive or, you know, like it's not an insulting way. It's actually a very soft approach, because the aggressive way doesn't usually achieve much.
It's just the power of language, isn't it? It's just thinking about the impact of a simple word like that and what it has on a person. So it's extremely powerful.
Now, before we heard from Gwen, the lovely Gwen, with Mamie Like You, we were talking about stigma, but also working with women with HIV, experiencing HIV stigma. And in the studio with us now to talk to us and tackle some of the issues around women with HIV stigma, we've got Tasha. Tasha, welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you're involved with Darren's exciting and innovative project.
That's right.
Now, why is it important to have a woman's voice when it comes to HIV stigma, do you think?
I think it's really important to have a woman's voice when talking about stigma surrounding HIV, because I think we can't end stigma or discrimination unless we all recognise that this could be me. And I think there's still a huge misconception, and I think it's a big part of the stigma around HIV, is that it really only or mostly affects gay men.
Mm.
And Darren mentioned earlier in the show that even before he found out he was positive, that he experienced a lot of fear around, you know, of becoming positive. And I have to say, as a woman, that's something I didn't experience. And I think, you know, an important part of the project we're working on is to draw on a lot of different lived experiences and to talk with people who are positive. And I'm really learning that for women, it's something that is not on our radar.
Sure, and I presume it would impact upon relationships and intimacy in particular.
Absolutely. I think it's something that I'm hearing, you know, Darren and gay men that we are working with on this project talk a lot about, that it's something, again, that it's something that's on their radar when they are, you know, sexually active and meeting people in, you know, in sexual contexts, but also romantically and intimately. But it's not something that people sort of think about when they think about engaging sexually with women, whether you know, women are heterosexual or gay. And so I think it's really important that we all take responsibility for educating ourselves, for gaining more awareness and understanding, because I think at the moment there's a big onus on gay men to have to constantly educate people and to explain to people what it means to have HIV, to accept sympathy, and to encourage people to educate themselves. But I think really we all need to do that, because it really could be you.
And I think this will be a powerful message in your presentation of the performance of Stigma 2, so I look forward to that. You're listening to Jack and Alex. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
World AIDS Day, December 1st, is fast approaching, and the Victorian AIDS Council, VAC, need your helping hands. We need volunteers to help distribute red ribbons as part of our annual street appeal. Don't worry, this is not a sales or fundraising role. Volunteer your time and come along to have fun, meet new people, and make sure everyone has a red ribbon this World AIDS Day. To find out more, go to vac.org.au/WAD2016 or call Daniel at VAC on 9865 6700. Joy is proud to support this community message.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Jack, Alex and James. And with us is Tash and Darren talking about Stigma, the production, which tackles the lived experience through performance. Now, before we go on, we've got a couple of more messages. We've got great and interesting show tonight, guys. Love from Zach and Anthony. And we have another one. Hi, Darren. Well, my multifocal lenses aren't letting me look at this. Can you read it out, please, James? My lenses aren't.
Yep. Hi, Darren. You're an inspiration. Hearing your voice through air gives a lot of strength, meaning, and puts things into perspective. Love and lots of love to you from me, Chaminda, or many call me Chum.
Thank you. You're having an impact, both of you. It's great.
Thank you. And for these people who are texting in tonight, I would love them to come and get involved in the project on the 11th of December at the PLC in the afternoon. We'll give you some more information about where to come, because these are the direct people we want to actually experience telling, working on this project with, so they can share their experience. So it would be great if you came in, the people texting in.
And we'll have that information on the VAC website as well. Now, Tash, before the break, you were talking about women coming forward, telling their stories. Have many women shared their experiences? And I guess that's in itself quite confronting, because they're a marginalised group within another marginalised community.
Yeah, that's really true. It's my hope that more women will feel emboldened and inspired to share their experiences. It's one of my hopes too that people who are not positive will also engage with this story and with this problem, with this issue. We're really lucky that we have a really strong, inspiring woman, Kim, who's working with us, and I've learned a lot from her. But Yeah, I mean, I have to say it has so far mostly been male voices.
Sure.
And I think it's, you know, so wonderful and generous that Darren is including a female voice in this project.
So we'd like to do a call out for all the women who may be positive to come along on the 11th as well and consider sharing your story. And Tash will be there, Darren will be there, Kim may be there.
Yes, we hope so. Yes,
lots
definitely.
Of women to be feel comfortable with as well.
Yes.
So on that note, I mean, this is obviously, given the SMSs we've had so far, had an impact on people listening to the show tonight, Darren and Tash. So Darren, how can people assist you with this project? Because I assume, as we've seen, there are many who are kind of striking a chord with many people.
Yeah, look, there's two ways of getting in contact about this project. First thing, if they head to my website, it's deviseco.com, deviseco.com/stigma. So on my Deviseco website, I have a link on the stigma page to the project. We're launching a possible campaign tonight so people can pledge and contribute to the project. They can also book tickets. They can also go onto the possible.com website /projects.
And spell that, that's possible with a Z.
Yeah, possible with a Z. POZIBLE.com/projects and /stigma, but stigma's got hyphens in between each word for marketing. So it's S hyphen T hyphen I hyphen G hyphen M. So it's a bit complex. So that's why I sent people to my website.
And you've mentioned a few dates already. Would you like to reinforce some
absolutely.
Of those?
Absolutely. So, as Jack was saying, it's all going to be on the VAC website. Also LPV, because they're supporting this project. Mm-hmm. So a big shout out to LPV and the support they are doing. They got this project up and going when we was first titled Gay Pos Sex. So it'll be on LPV website, VAC. Those dates, are, as we said before, the 11th of December. We're going to have one on the 21st of December, just before Christmas. And then there's two more in January, because the show opens on the 30th of January. But those dates are the 10th of January and the 16th of January is when we are engaging with the HIV positive community, women, children as well, you know, like, because it's those stories are
it
there.
It impacts upon families.
Certainly impacts, yeah. Yes.
Well, look, it's been terrific having you both on board today, tonight, Darren and Tash. We look forward to seeing more of you. And I can't wait to see the production.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
That's okay. Thanks for coming to Well, Well, Well. You're listening to Jack and Alex and James and the messages from yourselves, the listeners out there, on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Alex, that was a really interesting topic to unpacking issues related to stigma. I think it makes us all mindful. And I think we need to be very careful how we behave and act in regard to stigmatising people without intentionally doing it as well. So
absolutely. And I think the fact is that we're talking about it, we're hearing stories, and I'll go back to that notion of narrative and hearing people's stories. I think it's very powerful. On the subject of stigma as well, it's important to note that Sunday the 20th November is the annual Trans Day of Remembrance. This has been an annual day for quite a number of years now. And it's in memory of trans and gender diverse people who've actually been killed because of transphobic violence and discrimination. Now, this year at 100 Drummond Street in Carlton, we'll be showing a list of names as they are remembered from the past year. They'll be read out, followed by songs, music, poetry, and readings by trans and gender diverse people. All people are welcome, all ages are welcome, trans and gender diverse people and their allies.
So we'll hopefully see some of you on November the 20th as well for the Transgender Day of Remembrance at 100 Drummond Street in Carlton. This has been Jack and Alex and James bringing you another edition of Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Until next week, we'll be back on deck. Coming up next, of course, is Broad with the lovely Sonia. Thanks to everyone. Thanks, everyone. James,
thanks, Jack.
Alex.
No problem. Thank
cheers. Cheers, everyone. See you next week.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.